Strike two pitch. Drilled to right center field deep. Long run for Klee Thomas. Running, it's over his head. Base hit off the wall. Goins scores. Reyes to second with a stand-up double, clapping his hands, pointing into the Blue Jays' third base dugout. He's put the Blue Jays in flight with the game's first run here in the eighth inning. 1-0 over Minnesota.
The next batter was Rajay Davis. He popped up to second base, but with the infield in, the infielders couldn't get there. And it was an RBI single for Rajay, made it 2-0, the extra run that the Blue Jays didn't need as they beat the Minnesota Twins. 2-0, sweep the series 5-1 on the road trip, and they head home for a 9-game homestand beginning Tuesday against the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Just 19 games left in this season. And yes, Blue Jays fans, the season is drawing to its merciful conclusion. It has not been a good one for the Blue Jays, but they appear determined to at least end it well, which is kind of nice, even though playoffically it's not going to matter. 416-870-0590, star 590 on your cellular telephonic device, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. It is the Blue Jays talk to the bottom of the hour. I'm Mike Wilner. Let's get to your calls. We start with Josh in Toronto. Josh, you're going to be the leadoff man. Welcome aboard.
Thank you very much, Mike. Want to talk Goins. I want to say, as options for next year, I mean, defensively, I'll always take defensive over offensive, up the middle, catcher, maybe center, depending on the team. But that was some huge cojones he had throwing home today. But
yes,
I love the confidence. I love the confidence. And to me, if you got Reyes with his plus offense at short, you know, that might be a better option than trading for a second baseman.
You know what? Again, it's a first impression. It's a wonderful first impression. Ryan Goins could not have been, you know, could not be making a better first impression. And I think that we're all more sold on him because it's the defense that has shown up so well. And while the offense could very well be an illusion, I mean, he's hitting over 300 in the major leagues, and it's something that he's just not done at all in the minors. The defense really does seem to be there. The question is, what can he give you offensively? And if the truth of the matter is, he'll give you offensively what Meiser Esturiz was supposed to give you offensively, then I don't have a problem with that, starting that at second base. I'm trying not to get too caught up, but I think that you could do a lot worse for a bottom-of-the-lineup bat. The defense that Ryan Goins has provided at second base really does seem to have had a profound effect on what this team has been able to do. But, you know, take caution in that it's been a 2.5-week sample. That's all we've seen of him. But he really does seem as though he can make all the plays. And like you said, I mean, it takes some stones to make that throw home. And he did it, and he did it perfectly.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I think a small sample size of defense goes a lot farther, like infinitely farther than a small sample size of offense. So I get it. Like, if we can upgrade at second in the off season, overall, defensively and offensively, do it. Like, I don't know the guy. I have no personal attachment, but I'm satisfied if we got a guy that can make the routine plays and the odd spectacular one.
Yeah, it's tough to say no to, especially watching what happened at second base for the first two-thirds of this season. Thanks for the call, Josh. Appreciate it. And I'll even say the first three quarters of the season. Gord is in London. Gord, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome aboard, Gord.
I want to thank you and Jack and Jerry for making the game more understandable for me and enjoying it more.
Thank you.
This may be a premature question, but do you think Kawasaki's going to have a place here next year?
I don't really at this point see how he can. I mean, the roster's getting a little crowded.
Yeah.
If you think about having Goins here and Mark DeRosa, who I think is an important piece.
Agreed.
And You know, how many backup infielders can you have?
It just seems to me that Kawasaki has proved once again that baseball really is a team sport and needs chemistry, and he really brings that.
Well, I don't know that he's proven that. I think there may be a causation and a correlation issue there. I don't know that any of this is on Kawasaki. I know that it's what a lot of fans want to believe.
Yep.
But, you know, he's wonderful. Everybody loves him. He keeps things light. The same could be said of Jose Reyes, and Jose Reyes is really, really good at baseball.
Yes. And, of course, Goins now adds another factor on second.
Right. Goins is better than Kawasaki.
Yeah, and I agree with your calling him today over Rogers.
Yeah, thank you, because Jerry and Jack were on the other side of that. And part of that is because it's the Twins. You know what?
Yeah.
It really is. That's Esmiel was fantastic today, but it's the Twins. And Goins had a huge game, too.
But he's had some amazing games. You're right, it's probably too short a period to assess it, but he's certainly looking good so far.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He is. Well, he's been a ton of fun to watch.
Yeah, you guys keep up the great work, and thanks again so much for helping me understand the game.
Hey, thanks for that. I appreciate it a lot. It is our pleasure to do that for you. Blue Jays beat the Twins 2-0. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls to the bottom of the hour, then Roger LaJoie will take over and get you to Sunday Night Baseball. The Blue Jays just went 5-1 on a road trip. They just picked up their first sweep since June, when they were in the middle of their 11-game win streak. Actually, the end of their 11-game win streak, when they swept the Baltimore Orioles before they headed out on the road to Tampa and Boston and had a terrible trip. Mark is in Richmond Hill. Mark, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Good afternoon, Mike. I'm also a first-time caller, and I want to take some time out to thank you and your crew for the many years of entertainment. You guys are doing a bang-up job.
Thank you. We love doing it for you.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
We need a starting pitcher. What would you get for a guy like Batista?
Ah, who knows? You know, those are questions that are impossible to answer, but you look at Jose Bautista, he's got a very favorable contract. He is an elite hitter in the major leagues. He's a very good right fielder who, you know, might not have the best range in the world, but his arm more than makes up for that. He's a guy who's missed the second half of each of the last two seasons. But the numbers are just, I mean, they've been stupid over the last 4 years. So you should be able to get a lot for him. The question is, are you moving him at a good point in his value right now when he'll have missed the last month and a half of this season? And do you want to move him? Can you replace that bat? And I don't know what the answer to either of those questions is.
So you're just filling one hole for another.
Well, unless you replace him with a top-notch, middle-of-the-order power bat, yeah.
Right.
Because where does that top-notch, middle-of-the-order power bat come from? Who's the complement to Edwin Encarnacion?
And what's the double-A pitcher we have that's showing promise? I can't think of his name right now.
You think of Aaron Sanchez. I don't think he's in double-A yet.
Okay. All right, Mike, thank you for everything. You guys are doing a great job.
I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays on their way home soon. Coming off a 5-1 road trip. Omar is in Toronto. You're up next on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Thanks for taking my call, Mike.
Thank you for calling.
I had a question about Adam Lind. I wanted to hear your thoughts on, whether you see him in the future of the organization. I do like Lind. I just feel like he's a streaky player, and with a player like him, it feels like it's too much responsibility hitting in the middle of the lineup. It's a lot that we have to rely on someone who's just a streaky hitter. I would just want to know your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, the Blue Jays have, you know, in their best years, relied on streaky hitters in the middle of the lineup. There weren't many streakier than Joe Carter, who could have a 1-for-40 at any time and then bust out of it and be huge. Carlos Delgado had his streaks as well, but not as many as, you know, when you're OPSing close to 1,000 for your career as a Blue Jay. But he did have some pretty rough ones. Adam Lind is streaky, but when he's on a good run, you want him in the middle of the order, and that's part of the conundrum of it all. He's hit about 320, 330 over the last 3.5 weeks, OPS close to 1,000, had the 2-3 run homers yesterday. That's a bat you want in the middle of the order, not against a lefty, and I think that's been clearly established, but it really is a question. What do you do with Adam Lind? Because it's going to cost you $5 million to keep him next season with the $7 million option and a $2 million buyout. And is he worth that? And is he reliable enough that, you know, if he's here, should be hitting fourth or fifth?
Yeah, I agree with you.
I don't know.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think he is worth the contract, especially what he's due to get next year. And I know it just, what it comes down to it is his numbers are not there. And I know he had that good year, I think, in 2009 and maybe in 2011 as well. I think he may have had a resurgence. But I don't really feel comfortable with him being at first base. I know that's really, you know, tough saying, especially with the run he's gone on in the month. But how many players has he left on base? How many times has he hit into double play? I don't know if you have the numbers on that, but I'm pretty sure he's probably top of the team there in terms of leaving runners on and hitting into double plays.
He's second on the team in hitting into double plays, but Edwin Encarnacion is first, and I'm assuming you don't have an issue with him.
Well, no, because the numbers are there. And I mean, I guess that's
Adam Lind's hitting .282 with a .353 on base and a .484 slugging, so the numbers are there.
And his ribbies and home runs. I mean, again, I just feel like it's just a lot of responsibility for a guy. Somebody in the heart of the lineup, maybe I'm just expecting a little bit more, that's all. And I'd like
I think maybe you're pulling out the bad stuff you see and really holding on to it as opposed to remembering the good things. Adam Lind I'll tell you this. He has driven in as many runs as the average major leaguer with the number of his plate appearances has driven in. In fact, it's exactly the same. And he's had fewer runners on base to drive in than the average major leaguer with the 460 plate appearances that he's had. So he certainly hasn't been especially good, but he also hasn't been bad with runners on at all.
No, you're right. And I guess I'm just expecting a lot out of a first baseman hitting in the heart of the lineup for the team. Just another quick thing I wanted to mention too. Is Howarth retiring at all? Or I was just wondering why you are calling the games for a couple of the innings.
Hopefully it's because I've earned it.
Well, no, I know. Again,
I don't think Jerry's going anywhere. Well, okay. Partly is because Alan Ashby left, and Alan Ashby was doing some play-by-play for us in his 6 years here. He did three innings, so that opened things up a little bit. Jack doesn't do play-by-play, so they've decided to give me an opportunity, and I hope I'm doing all right with it. I don't think Jerry's retiring anytime soon at all.
Okay, good. That was the question. Certainly, it's no disrespect to you. I think you're doing a bang-up job. You definitely have deserved it. But, I mean, just, you know, respect to Jerry. It's just big shoes to fill, that's all.
Certainly big shoes to fill. No question about it.
Thank you.
Pardon? I missed that. All right. Well, thanks for the call, Omar. I appreciate it. Blue Jays beat the Minnesota Twins 2-0, sweep the series. They go 5-1 on this road trip. After, 4-2 homestand, was it? Before that, they've won 4 series in a row, and now they go home looking for a fifth against a Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim team that is not going particularly well, and that has to come here to Minnesota tomorrow to play a makeup game. They're playing at home tonight, or this afternoon, are the Angels, taking on the Texas Rangers, finishing up a weekend series. And then they have to stop here in Minneapolis on the way to Toronto to play a night game tomorrow. We've got one segment left of the Blue Jays Talk, and the phone lines are open. See if you can get through. We're taking your calls to the bottom of the hour. It's 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance. 1-888-666-0590. It is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
And the strike two pitch. Strike three called. Dozier didn't like it. DJ Rayburn says take it and go back to the first base dugout. One down here in the ninth.
First of two strikeouts for Casey Jansen in the ninth. In between, there was a single and a pop-up to shallow center, and Casey gets his 29th save in support of Esmail Rogers, who threw 7 2/3 innings of three-hit shutout. The Blue Jays blank the Twins 2-0 to sweep away the Minnesotans and finish up a 5-1 road trip. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk, and Brendan is here at Target Field. Were you just running the bases with the kids, Brendan?
You know, I'm tall enough to run the bases, or short enough, however you want to look at that. But, no, I didn't go out there. But did you see those two crazy Canadians from Winnipeg that slid into home plate?
I did not. I'm sorry.
I think they had a lot of beers.
Oh, I'm sure. But that's okay. Part of enjoying the game.
Absolutely.
As long as somebody sober is driving
home. I'm standing here behind home plate, but I think I'm going to get tossed out. As you can see, this place is emptying out pretty quick. So,
yeah, I see you waving your Blue Jays cap right there. Very nice.
Awesome. So, yeah, but listen, what better day can you ask for? You got Andrew Albers, Canadian kid, on the hill. You know, throws a shot out. So that's a beautiful thing. 7 solid innings from the left-handed kid. And so you're cheering for him, you know, heart and soul. And then your guys are nice enough to score in the 8th inning.
That's right.
Like a good day for the Canadian kid. You know, the other Canadian kid, he's always good at third base, and he's always exciting at the plate. So, just a beautiful day at baseball, and what a weekend. You know, 3 awesome games by the Blue Jays. But the real hero today was Pilar. Give that bunt down. That was beautiful. Executing on the fundamentals.
We have seen so many times when a Blue Jay has been asked to get a bunt down and just been thoroughly unable to do it. And Kevin Pillar, and I mentioned this on the Twitter earlier today, talking about the difference between Kevin Pillar and Moises Sierra. Sierra is so much more talented. The tools are unbelievable. But Pillar does all the little things right, and Sierra seems to do all the little things wrong. He tripped over Rajay Davis again today. And I don't mean to bash Moises, but there's such a difference when you have someone who's so sound in just playing baseball properly, and that's what Kevin Pillar does.
Absolutely.
So are you from Winnipeg?
I was born and raised in Toronto.
All right.
So mom and dad are probably listening to the radio now.
Awesome.
My brother and sister are in Toronto, too, so I get home as often as possible. I was home for the week of 4th of July and when the Twins happened to be in town, so that was kind of the best of both worlds. But I've been living here in Minneapolis for about 7 years, and certainly any chance I get, whether I have to drive to Kansas City to see some Jays games or Chicago or here in Minneapolis, I get out to as many Jays games as I can.
Perfect. We're glad to have you and the whole big, huge Canadian contingent that the Blue Jays have traveled
so
well.
What a turnout this weekend. You know, the Winnipeggers, the Saskatchewaners, you know, the Manitoba folks. I mean, just an unbelievable Canadian showing of support here. I think we outnumbered the Twins fans on at least 2 out of 3 days.
Yeah, you might have today when they were all home watching the Vikings, that's for sure. And and you got a show put on for you. And I appreciate the call, Brendan. Thanks
thanks so much. Thanks for having me. All the best.
All right. Well, one of the few times, if ever, that I've actually been able to look at someone who's calling on the Blue Jays Talk. Barry is in Toronto. Barry, you're up next.
Hello, Michael. First of all, I want to commend you on a couple of things. First of all, your wonderful work in helping get Tom Cheek into the Hall of Fame. I think that was amazing what you did.
Thank you.
The way you broadcast. They should give you a little more chance.
I appreciate that, too. Thank you.
What does Kawasaki say to his coaches and manager when they're standing in the dugout? Like, can he talk English?
He doesn't speak a lot of English. He can get by. It's difficult to have a conversation with him, but if you explain and you know, you try to do as much as you can, he gets a lot of it. But I don't think it matters, to be honest with you, because he's going to make you laugh anyway.
I think nobody on this team is untradeable. If they can improve themselves, I'm convinced that September baseball doesn't tell you a whole lot. Toronto's had good Septembers before, which they think it's going to be wonderful in April, and then they bang out again. So I mean, as much as some of these guys look really impressive, I don't think it's a sure sign of anything.
Oh, I think it's nuts to think it's a sure sign of anything. And
well,
and that's, you know, that's one of the reasons why you try to just, or at least I'm trying to just tell people what's going on. We had a caller yesterday who said, I shouldn't be talking about the fact that they've won four straight series because they're in last place. But the truth is they've won four straight series.
Hey, I'm happy as heck that they have.
Right.
And the truth is 77.
I find they're playing a lot better right now.
A harbinger of what's to come.
No, but I don't think, well, I was going to say, I don't think anyone's expecting that it to be, and I could be wrong there. Perhaps some people are expecting that to be this, and I'm certainly not suggesting that by any means. And it's one of the reasons why I'm saying, you know, let's just calm down on Ryan Goins a little bit. He's been terrific, but, you know, this guy's not going to step into a major league lineup as an everyday player next year and be an all-star.
We pay up to $10 million or more than that a year for some players. How about paying that much for a top-notch trainer, somebody who could see injuries before the players admit they have them, and somebody who can keep them from getting injured? That's been our biggest problem the past number of years, is injuries.
It is, and you know what? I don't think that a different trainer would change things. I think that you need a magician for that. You know, if it was the same thing over and over, hamstring strains or, you know, things that show that they're not ready to go, then that's one thing. But when you've got one guy with a nerve impingement in his wrist, one guy with a tumor in his back, one guy with epilepsy that's undiagnosed, that kind of stuff's not on the trainer. A bone bruise in the hip. You can't fix that stuff. See you tomorrow, everybody.